So we're doing. What are you doing first? Blood Jack Wire or
one
the?
Of them? I think it was that one. No, it was the Lee one. Jim Lee. Okay, that one is the one I looked at.
I looked at a couple different ones.
There's pretty girls in that one.
I want to see the Star Wars one. This one's cool.
Why do all have large, enlarged upper bodies?
Men's fantasies.
You're complaining?
No, I was just asking a question.
Luke!
I am your father.
I'm reading.
Oh, well.
What was I watching? I was watching... Oh, Ghost Rider.
Which one?
First one. Second one sucked.
Well, they both kind of sucked.
Yeah, first one was
the first
one's
good much
either.
Better than the second one.
Well, there's some cool moments in the second one, though.
Moments.
Moments. I hated the second one.
Dad, look.
You got your jaw.
Nice.
That's so cute.
You got a teardrop coming down.
All
right.
Ready, roll. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Comic Pop Library, episode 37. I'm Richard, along with...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
Logan.
And today, we are going to be talking in general about comic art books, where the comic artists actually have their own books that they put their artwork in. And then our second part of the podcast will be a review of Sofa Wolf Press's Blood Jaguar by Michael H. Payne. At this time, we'll like to take a moment and have a spot for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. The first go around, we are talking about different art books that are available that you can put into your collection. The one I'm looking at is Dynamic Art of Alex Ross. We also have one that is a Star Wars. April, go ahead.
Yeah, it says Star Wars Comics.
And yep. Matt, he's got one.
He's got my favorite one.
Icons.
Jim Lee. By Jim Lee.
And Logan has a general sci-fi book that I think has a variety of artists in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have one that is a Naruto book as well with the manga aspect in it.
Yep.
And
where's
Let
that
me
one?
See it.
So I'll have to look at that one.
I'll look at it.
See if I can find out who it is.
Oh, is it in color?
We have Uzumaki by Masashi Kishimoto, The Art of Naruto. And it's basically, it opens up just like a manga and goes backwards. But instead of being in black and white, they are actually color images from the series. April wants to see that one first.
Are they multicolored images or just monocolor?
That one's multicolor.
Whatever.
Actually,
monocolor. Good one.
At least half of them are multicolor.
These books tend to have a variety. Majority of them are color images with a few black and white and some pencils sometimes mixed in. Usually, the artists like to spotlight themselves or the companies like to spotlight a specific artist. Like I said, the one I'm looking at is Alex Ross. He does primarily paintings, and that's his style. And a lot of people say that, well, his paintings do not have emotion to them. They're kind of just
paintings.
Have some artwork can convey motion because his paintings, there's not a whole lot of motion in his. I don't know why. And he tries to make them as detailed and lifelike as possible so they look like actual people.
Which book is this?
Which book is painting? What?
Whose book?
Alex Ross's. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got bored of that one, so I put it down.
And with this one, you have a variety of stuff. You have mainly his work from Dynamic Art. He's also done stuff from Marvel and DC, and they are in here too, but at a lesser extent. They kind of concentrate on that Dynamic Entertainment's artwork that he's done. With the Jim Lee book, I think it concentrates on his DC artwork and some of his Wildstorm artwork because DC actually bought that.
It says DC and Wildstorm art on it. So sorry. I'd get closer to the mic and say that.
There may be a couple of drawings in there of his fantasy lady.
I'm not sure who that one is, but I was just kind of curious.
It's a Richard, good picture.
It's Richard's book, but why does it open to that page?
That's the natural sinner fault.
No, that would be my fault, actually, because those books were sitting in my office for about a month.
Sure, Chris.
Along with this, I was doing side-by-side comparisons, Matt.
Yeah.
The one that April has, the Star Wars book, is mainly the Dark Horse artwork that has been done from them from various artists. So it's a variety of artists. It's not just one particular one. The Naruto one is pretty much just by that specific artist, and Logan's is a variety.
Yep.
The Star Wars one looks almost hyper-realistic to where the other ones are cartoon or
it's
comic.
It's really cool.
This one is definitely comic.
This one has a lot of old comic strips.
Which one is this one to clarify for
the
our
The Star
audience?
Wars one.
Oh, okay.
Let me see the Star Wars one. Here,
passing books around.
Don't give it back.
These books are a little heavier than
you would call them
coffee table books.
Really, sorry, though.
You want me to throw one at you, Chris?
Do you want a sound engineer to record this for you?
They are what we would call coffee table books, so they are pretty heavy. These are ones that if you have a big following of comic books and manga within your library, this would be something to augment your graphic novel collection so that people can go and just get one specific artist, kind of look through, see how they
It'd
do
be
stuff.
Kind of expensive, though.
Well, with these, I've told this several times. We get our stuff from a jobber, and we get 40% off. So that's not too bad.
For libraries, that's okay, but not for your average.
Not for an individual.
Right.
This would be something that you'd probably have to save up for, just to give an example.
You'd have to be an Uber fan to want to buy this for yourself.
True of that one particular
kind
one.
Kind of boring.
And I'm becoming a Jim Lee fan, so I might go out and get that one.
I am a Jim Lee fan. So.
Chris, you just want one picture out of that, didn't you?
No, not one. There's a couple.
But to give an example of pricing, the Alex Ross book is $39.99.
The Naruto one's $19.99.
That one's not so bad. But
no.
Then again, the pictures in it they're not really blending. I mean, it's more of your cartoon.
Right.
Sort
so it's
of
a lot
Naruto.
Funner to look at, though.
And the Star Wars one's $40.
And I think Jim Lee's probably the same.
Icon was 40.
Sci-Fi's 30.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at an average of about $30 a pop when you're buying one of these. Most of them you can get in hardback. Some of them you can get in soft cover. They usually produce them later on in a soft cover edition. And a lot of these tend to hit the bargain bins sometimes in the stores as well. So if you want to play the waiting game, that's an option you can do.
I don't know about those necessarily because in most of those bargain bins, you see the Michelangelo, the Leonardo, you know, those old sort of, Victorian, but
the
anyway.
Renaissance.
And
you see all those type of books in the bargain bin before you see these.
Classics.
You see them occasionally because I have about probably 4 or 5 of these in my collection, and I've paid usually half off, about $15. So I've gotten fortunate enough. I'm not going to say all of these will make it there, but when you go into like a Barnes & Noble, if they stay alive, you can check out their bargain bins, and you might occasionally find something like this out there. The last one they had, I did miss. It was basically just the DC, the women of DC, and the different artists that did the different women. And by the time I got back there, it was already sold out.
I would have liked to
have
seen that one.
It was already sold out.
Well, I think, too, it not only does it apply to the comic book people, but artist people. It'd be one of those things you could kind of cross them between doing art and connect them into maybe comics using these.
No, to me, these books are their portfolio, the things that they do for fun, the things that don't necessarily make it into the comics, except for the comic strips that prove an art sort of lesson. I don't know what the word is.
Most of your specific people, though, it is published material, though, with additional art, like you said. So it's a little blending of both, about probably a 40-60.
Not all the pictures in it, though, are in color. Some of them, I think, are there for sort of educating future comic book artists.
And they do that to a degree. The Jim Lee book does that. I think
Star
Alec
Wars does that.
Does it?
Lot,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's when you think of these big books, you look at them and you think, oh my gosh, sometimes they are just looking at pictures like the Naruto. There's not much text at all.
Yeah, but it's the most interesting book. But the whole deal.
Just want to look at pictures. In the Alex Ross, Jim Lee, especially in the sci-fi one, I think they have a little segment an actual text that you can read about the artist.
Naruto book teaches the Naruto book teaches you how to draw.
The sci-fi book, is it like space? Is it future? Is it fantasy?
I think it's a little everything.
Sci-fi. You know what?
Sci-fi.
How about this? All.
Kind of covers all.
Well, that's how come you didn't bring a fantasy one? Because that one would have been a good one to bring.
I forgot it. I just grabbed some off the shelf.
The way some of those guys see nature is interesting.
Concept.
And going with nature, some of this has all natural when you get into the art books. So you have to, you know, you might run into some of that with this. Even in your comic book art, you might have some nudity in them. So
that's a good way of putting that, Richard. All natural.
Yes. I think some of the, especially the fantasy artists, you have Julie Bell, who's a couple of them. Oh, God, just went blank. But I know Julie Bell's one of the fantasy artists that's really popular. She does not shy away from the nude, you know, from the waist up or even the backside. They usually don't show genitalia, though. They don't go that far. So
yeah, but then the book would be in a different genre of art books.
True. Yeah. Vallejo, I think, is her husband's name. Boris Vallejo, I believe. And they both do fantasy artwork. And
you've probably
Olivia.
Seen some of their art on as tattoos on people.
You see that? And a lot of them are covers to books. When you get into the fantasy realm, that's where and even the sci-fi, general sci-fi stuff, a lot of that stuff, when I was flipping through them, they would say, you know, this was on this cover for this book. So that kind of gives the readers a little bit of tie-in to if they've read the books as well. They are expensive, not going to lie. They are nice.
Unless you find them in the bargain bin.
Yeah, bargain bin's great. This is one that just purchase what you feel the library needs. You know, I'm not going to say go get Alex Ross unless there's some Alex Ross fans. The Star Wars would pretty much appeal to everybody because just Star Wars.
Is there a phone going off?
Not that I know of.
There it is.
Answer it.
Chris's phone.
It's fine. April's the Naruto one. There's some Bleaches that we have and some Full Metal Alchemist. Those are pretty much straight art. Some of this is actually the artwork from the issues in Japan. So you're actually getting some new artwork that the American audience hasn't regularly seen. So that, if you have some manga fans, that's going to go over. Like Matt said, with the sci-fi and fantasy having a variety, that would go better for your general artists. DC and Marvel will go over just because of the names. But
I think you'd have them checked out. You know, I'd probably check out one
here and
just
there.
To look at the, you know, just to look at the artwork because I enjoy it. It's kind of cool.
You know, at one point, libraries did check out artwork.
There's a few that still do.
To me, checking out one of these books, putting it on your coffee table once every 2 weeks. Same purpose.
True.
Yeah.
In essence. But this is one where, like Matt was saying, get the younger generation involved in the arts. How we shelf these, we don't actually have it in our art section. You can put it in your graphic novel section. We actually put it in our sci-fi section.
We put it in the back on the bottom.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that tells us a lot.
That knows.
We actually have these at the very beginning of our sci-fi section. Well, that might be where it's located, but
that's
the beginning of our sci-fi section.
I could see. Well, you'd want to keep them grouped together, so either sci-fi, graphic novels. I mean, we separate out. We have a youth, if you want to call it, graphic novel section.
But they're not.
Right.
Those aren't there.
And then we have an adult
graphic novel section.
Right.
Kind of.
No, well, I don't know how you would classify our...
We do. We basically have an adult.
You can find some of the stuff over the teen, but all the popular stuff is in the adult. There's really no...
Come on,
I can't really say how we do it.
We have a graphic novel of the 300, and it's in the adult.
We also put some in our drawing section, which is in the 645s or 745.
I think sevens.
I don't know exactly how we do it.
Me neither.
We've got them kind of spread out.
We try to group them together in our area, and we figured the people that would like these aren't going to be the ones that go to the art section, per se. It's going to be the ones that go to the sci-fi or graphic novel area, and we just chose the sci-fi area. Because we also have steampunk art.
Our sci-fi is close to the graphic novels anyways.
Fairly close, yes. So that's how we do it.
I was going to make a comment. Said, well, when your library fits in a shoebox.
Everything's close.
Everything's close together. Sorry.
That is true. That is true.
Kind of how small the library is.
Just slamming.
It's not the size of the library. It's how diverse your collection is.
But that's pretty much it. The only warning I would say, if you can review these, if your jobber will let you look at these before you actually buy it, or if you're in a big enough town, you can go to the Barnes & Noble and flip through them. If you're an individual, you know, you can definitely go there and flip through it, see if you really want to put down that much money. And for libraries, on content, if they think there's too much in there that they don't want on the shelves, make your decision. If you think your community can handle it, which I think most communities can in this day and age, but
I don't know, those old ladies are pretty mean.
They can be at times. They can be nice too.
Any shout outs?
Someday, April, you will be
a lot of shout outs.
You know, someday, April, you will be one of those old ladies.
Yeah, I know, but till then, I can make fun of them.
You know what?
It's the circle of life.
When you turn 30, you will feel old. It doesn't happen at 60.
True.
So you're halfway there.
I'm not even 16.
That'd be 32.
Yeah, that's.
Did you not? Oh, I heard. I thought I heard you say 16.
I didn't say 16.
I'm tired. You're tired. I'm hungry.
But that's pretty much it. I just want to draw attention to this section of the library that you could draw in readers and possibly new readers to the graphic novel area, possibly artists into the graphic novel or sci-fi genre and fantasy genres that you can possibly draw on some new patronage.
You could also check sections. Out a children's book.
Yeah, not quite the same artwork.
Those are pretty good for illustrations. I think they're pretty nice.
Easier to read.
April speed.
For summer reading one time, I didn't really care what I read.
She's not a library nerd.
I just wanted to get the number of books. So I went straight to our children's section, cool. Where I read like 100 books in the hour. And one of our librarians was like, April, if you write down one more book, I won't accept any Voltron. Of those.
Is that Voltron?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember that.
Well, that's because you're reading too below your level. They know you.
Well, not to her. It's her level. To everybody else. They think, okay.
My level sucks.
Because there's not very many pictures in the books anymore. That's why we have graphic novels.
It's just because the books are so long.
Yeah, it depends on what
you
read.
I think the number, like, 4 or 5 of my books should equal, like, 50 books for, like, all the little kids. That way, we would make summer reading fair. They got it so much easier.
Well, we try to take that into account. You don't have to read as many as they do.
I set my own. You set your own goal.
This year.
I put 1.5. I don't do summer reading.
And that's my daughter. But no, use your judgment on these. I think they'd be nice additions to collections, even personal collections, definitely. I'm kind of like Chris with the Jim Lee one. If I can ever find it at a little bit cheaper price, I'll probably snatch it up in a heartbeat. As big a fan as I am of Star Wars, depends on the price, but I'm a Jim Lee fan and always have been. So I'd pick that one up even before the Star Wars. That's saying a lot for me.
I would pick up Star Wars.
Who are you and what'd you do with Richard? Because, wow.
I would pick up Star Wars and nothing else. Yep.
But that's it. We'll go on to the next section. We're going to have a little shout out here that Chris wants to do real fast. Do you want to do this real fast, Chris?
If you haven't already seen it, there's a guy named Pablo Candia here. Let me get it to my point. What have you ever, if you haven't seen it. But anyway, starting over.
There you go.
All right. there's a new newspaper here in Dodge and also around some of the other communities in Southwest Kansas called The Informative Hispanic American. It's the first bilingual newspaper that I've seen. This month, their first anniversary edition came out, and you can come pick it up either at the library or you can look them up on their Facebook page at The Informative Hispanic American. The editor, his name is Pablo Candia, and the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because in a day and age where all print is going to digital, he still believes that print is the best way to go. So go to the library, check it out, check him out on Facebook, and see what he has to offer.
And one of the more unique things, like Chris says, was the bilingual aspect of it. So that would be nice for all communities, because I know there's sometimes when something looks interesting in one of the papers, somebody might not be able to read it. So this way, they all can. So it's a nice endeavor that he's done for the community.
Yeah. Yep.
Plus, I know what a struggling person can do. 1 year, we've been around for 3 years, and it takes time. The podcast.
Podcast's been around 3 years.
It all starts with somebody's idea, and this was his idea, and it's going strong, so it's good for him. Can you believe it? 3 years?
Has it been 3 years?
In October, it will be.
We've been doing it October.
October. 2 years. Almost. A little over 2 years for you guys. Because you guys started episode 9.
And didn't you start at episode 1?
Yeah, yes. I did. I've been here for the long haul, Logan. I'm afraid.
So you're going to be longer than 2 years, apparently.
He can
just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit.
Oh, gosh.
That's why I get to pay for the most of everything, because it was my brainchild.
I was going to say, that's why you get paid the big bucks, but since we do this for free.
That's why I spend the big bucks.
We do it because we like to,
The company we share and the experience that we've had, I don't think they could be replaced at this point. I've enjoyed everything and been surprised at what we've been accomplished in the short time we've been here. Along with our experiences, we've done a lot of interviews and over the years with a variety of people, and one of them was Jim Shear. He was with us for our second part of our wine and cheese interview. He unfortunately passed away this last month, which would have been for us 2 months for the hearing audience. That was in this middle part of May, I believe. So we wish his family well, and I know this is a difficult time. And we enjoyed him on the interview. He was a very fun gentleman to talk with. So we know he's in a better place now, though.
I like your fish.
I don't have a fish, but thank you. Hey,
Richard, your daughter has ADOSS, doesn't she?
Is that what it is?
You know what that is, don't you? You have AD, ooh, something shiny.
So, attention.
Attention, deficit, ooh, something shiny.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Sorry.
There's a fish tank in here. They're like my favorite thing to look at.
That's a pin, not candy.
She's been chewing on that since I saw her when she got here.
I've chewed on pins, pin caps, anything since I was really little.
We can take a short break and then come back to the next book.
Yes, why don't we take a short break here?
Hi, it's Ray from Lolita Dark. You are listening to Comic Pop Library.
And now we need to go on to our next segment. Is our book review from Sofa Wolf Presses. And we'll let Chris take over.
Just kidding.
That's good. Okay. I appreciate Sofa Wolf for giving us an opportunity to read or review one of their publishings again.
Is this the third one we've done of theirs?
No Diggers.
Second.
This is our second, I believe.
Yeah. We have a third one lined up.
Yep. So this one is Blood Jaguar by Michael H. Payne. Usually, I like the classic sci-fi books, okay? So when I started reading this, it was kind of a challenge for me. Nature detail just isn't my thing, I guess. It kind of bored me at the beginning until I started getting more into, chapter 2, when the story finally started picking up. In chapter 1, I really had a picture of this bobcat who was a drug addict, who had some crazy friends, and I just really wasn't... His first impression really wasn't too...
He was
nice.
A partier. He wasn't an addict. He was a partier.
Yeah, it's more like alcoholic.
All addicts are partiers.
True.
So,
was it? It was catnip?
Yeah. And he sort of obsessed about it for a while.
And he would get a job just when he needed the money to go get some more.
Yeah. And he usually... And it's his general behavior to wake up in this sort of catnip stupor every morning. So this rabbit comes out to... make sure that he's okay, I guess.
I thought that was weird. That's one thing that put me off in this book, was that his love interest was a jackrabbit or a rabbit, just...
A rabbit.
Right.
I was like...
Right.
Why would that be weird?
Yeah, usually because... It's usually rabbits, yeah. Rabbits are prey for bobcats.
But I thought about this.
Eat her butt.
What did this? What did this bobcat eat?
If you get in an argument, just eat your wife and all's good. Or your husband, whichever way it might be.
Do any of you remember how he met her?
He chased her down. I don't know if he was really trying to eat her, but he was chasing her, making it like a game.
I can't get that out of my head.
He was chasing every rabbit than just releasing them to do it again.
Well,
later.
He went to tear out her jugular. He looked longingly into her eyes and knew there was a connection.
She trapped him.
Yep, she was the smarter of the two.
So, yeah, I think
of course he's
that's
a drug
about
addict.
As far as I got into
smarter.
The book.
True.
The illustrations at the beginning kind of threw me off. That on the cover, you see Fisher and Bobcat walking down a road. But what I didn't realize was that what I thought was a lizard was actually Fisher. And the lizard looked like the backpack strap.
See, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a backpack.
I paid no attention to it until I'm like, you know, I'm really picturing a smaller lizard for this book. And then I look at it closer and sure enough, that's a lizard. Not a backpack
what
strap.
What I didn't get is how it all started with the whole, the lizard lost his luck.
Yeah, it basically started, it's a prophecy. It's,
yeah, no,
I
but
can't
it's
remember
like,
how many years, it's a 100-year cycle or something like that, where it's like almost most of your fantasy books where there's a quest and they have to fulfill the prophecy or everything will be destroyed.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a prophecy, it was just you lost your, whenever a lizard loses his luck, something happens.
That was
that was kind of interesting. Lost
and
his
I
luck,
was like.
Which was a pebble or something?
Well, that's where his luck was.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. See, I didn't get that part, so I thought it was just like up in the air. Like
he has a rabbit friend. Just have her donate a foot.
I was wondering. I was like, how do you know you lost your luck? Like,
wait,
I didn't know it was.
How lucky was the foot for the rabbit?
You know what? We don't know how lucky he was before the pebble.
Yeah,
true. And with Fisher, the only thing I can think of, we talked about this as well, that she's an otter. With the name of Fisher. She has to be some aquatic type.
Well, I'm guessing that's why they went to Otter's Gate to look for her. And she wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Durr.
Wow.
You missed that one.
Yep, I did. Like I said, it's been a couple of months. God, give me some break. To me, I'm not the biggest fantasy reader either. I do like reading fantasy, but it takes me a little bit to get into. So it took me about 50 pages. And then finally, I got into the rhythm and everything. One of the things that kept throwing me out a little bit, and this is where I found something out about my reading habits, is that they would stop. They're walking on all fours, just like animals would. But when they would stop, they would unpack everything. They would sit down and have a cup of coffee, and they're drinking it like a human would. And to me, for some reason, that with reading it and picturing it in my brain just did not work. But when we read the first one from Sophie Wolf, Nordgard.
Yeah, Nordgard.
Because the image was there, the picture, I could...
But they were...
That registered better.
They were
me.
Always bipeds, though. They weren't on...
No.
Oh.
With the
no, when they were pulling,
sled team, they
when
were
they were
fours.
Pulling the sled, they were on all fours.
Huh. So... To me, I can read these type of stories better in the graphic novel form than I can in the novel form. I learned that with this book because I'd never read a novel that centered on animals as the main characters. I've always read them in graphic novel form.
How long were the chapters?
Obviously, you've never read Redwall.
No, I've never read Redwall. Sorry.
They're not.
I don't know.
They're not very big chapters.
Are they not?
20-ish pages.
Because like
average, probably.
I started reading this, and I looked at this, and I'm like, all right, people give me crap about not reading these, so I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to read it to the very last page. This is, like, for me, the worst book to say that with, because I kept reading chapter one, you know, and I was like, it's not ending.
One
my
other
gosh, I need chapter two. Holy crap.
Okay. The other thing that was a little bit of a turnoff is how small the print is.
Yep.
The print would give me headaches. It's really tiny. And reading that text like that for long periods of time, like I said, gives me headaches. So there were times where I just had to, you know, just put it down.
Set it down.
It is small print, but it doesn't look like it's
my
hard
guess.
Reading.
My guess is no. There, it's not. It's not. It's easy words. Easy words. The concepts are kind of
hard.
Well, they kind of deal with a zodiac type god system.
Mm.
that they go through. Mm-hmm. And some are cast down. Some are, well, the Jaguar is one of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are still up in the realm. Some of them have just completely faded away. It's a decent story. I'll give it that. I read it and enjoyed it. But again, it's not my regular fare. So if I wouldn't naturally, on my own inclination, read a fantasy book. If I do, it's usually because Logan's recommended it or my wife or somebody has recommended it to me.
He's about to point to me, but then he stopped.
Yeah, you don't read a whole lot of fantasy, though,
no.
I don't think.
No.
So unless somebody points out a fantasy book for me to read, I usually don't gravitate to that genre. No. But for... And it's a shorter book. It's only 200 pages?
200
very small text.
True.
That's small what text I was thinking. That's small 214. Text.
It was small text, so it probably would be longer in a regular book.
Okay, now that we've raked it over the coals, we haven't actually got into the story. I know it's been a couple months for you, but Logan, you've got a computer mind. You can pull this up fast, right?
Which part?
Okay, so they, Bobcat and Skink, and Fisher start this quest to go find who?
The Jaguar.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Are they actually... Well, but that wasn't their first stop.
Jaguar. Oh, the first stop was... Wait, that was the Buffalo place, right?
I don't remember. Anyway, so they go. They start on this quest, and they go on this search. And so the book, the concept of going on a quest and
quest
finding
find
something
the
at the end
luck?
Is not new.
Is there a quest to find the lizard's luck? Is that what?
No.
Well,
that's one of the signs that it's happening.
Huh?
Bobcat, not the lizard.
Oh, sorry.
Basically,
yeah. Logan was right. The first stop was the bison.
Oh, okay.
When the lizard lost his luck. You could tell because, like, Bobcat was attacked by the blood jaguar.
Mm-hmm. Did you say lizard, too? Yep. And the lizard lost his luck? It's the Bobcat.
No, the lizard lost the
lizard
luck.
Oh, it was the lizard.
Yeah.
The skink. The skink lost the luck.
Jeez.
Was the Bobcat carrying the pebble? Because I thought the Bobcat presented the pebble to Fisher when they first met.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it was skink. Okay.
Actually,
see, the Bobcat had the, what was it? Oh, God, the prophecy, Logan. What is it? The vision.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, of the blood jaguar.
Right. But the start of it was.
That's when he gets pretty messed up.
In the skink's family, whenever, or with the species of skinks, whenever skinks loses his luck and a Bobcat has a vision, that means the quest for the blood jaguar is supposed to happen.
Oh.
That's how they tell the quest is supposed to start. And this is a cyclical prophecy. Like I said, it's either every 100 years, every so many hundreds of years.
The lizard said that his
great-great-grandma. Great-great, I think it was.
Lost
great-great-grandma.
Right. And it's one of those where...
She died before she could finish the story.
Right. And it's one of those where if they don't defeat the blood jaguar, she comes down, destroys the world, and starts it over again.
Well then.
Okay.
And then after 100 or however many hundreds of years, this event happens again. And if there's a hero that can come back and defeat the blood jaguar, you know, all is well with the world. There will never be another prophecy. That's the core of the story. So Bobcat didn't have the luck.
Skink had the luck.
Right.
Okay.
And they went to the bison to get more information on the prophecy because they didn't have it all. Right, okay. Logan? Wasn't it the bison that they got the library?
No, that was just passing through. What was it? But the other real big city was where they got the info from.
Oh, that's right. I can't remember what animals were there. Khazarasaf was the city's name.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically it's an adventure story involving animals and a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you said it's an interesting story if you like fantasy.
If you're into fantasy, that's who's this going to entertain.
If you like nature detail, I mean, they would, at the beginning when they were talking about, or when Bobcat first got up and was walking down the bank of the stream or whatever, they would go into detail about how the stream sounds, about how the sun shines through the leaves. Oh, sorry.
I think they tried to do it from Bobcat's point of view because, you know, being Bobcat, you sense it all more.
It was from his
point
of view.
If they would just say, you know, light forest, that would have been enough for me.
I'm thinking that Chris really didn't like the book.
But there are readers that do like detail, though.
Yeah. Well, I do like detail. I was talking about this before the podcast. I love detail in tech sci-fi, space sci-fi, things
detail.
Like that. But like I said, fantasy is really not.
There's
my
a flower genre. Over there. It's pink and it's pretty.
Exactly. That's me.
You don't need to know how many petals was on that flower.
What exactly?
This 36 petal, sweet smelling chrysanthemum was 6 inches tall and would brush under...
Would sway in the wind as the sun shimmered off its petals.
Exactly.
Chris can't write a book.
Yeah. One of the other aspects of this I want to bring up is I identified with Bobcat a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Because at one point I was like, I just want him to chomp Fisher and chomp Skink
pounce.
And just say,
cats pounce.
Screw this.
Pounce and pad. There was a lot of padding in this book.
What?
Padding? Bobcat padded a lot.
Well, his feet are what's pads.
Oh, just
walk. Yeah. Walking's pretty good, too.
The Skink and Fisher, they badmouth him through the whole book, drive
it's
him
down.
It's
not Bobcat's fault.
He's a drug addict.
It's freaking Skink's fault.
But it's like one of those where you're like, he tries to come up with an idea, and they just drive it into the ground. So, you stupid Bobcat. No, that's not how we're going to do it. I would look as a, oh, screw you, too, and let me go my own way.
Hang on a second. I'm bigger than both of you. I'm going
to
eat you.
I don't see why they're I don't see why they're doing that to Bobcat, not to Skink, the little retard that lost a pebble.
Actually, he still has.
He had the pebble.
He still has the pebble. It's just his
he
luck.
Had the pebble. He just lost the luck out of the pebble.
He's special.
You know, they never. I was trying to figure out how does he know he lost his luck on the pebble?
That was my thing because.
Did
at
it
first,
glow?
They never first, said, I don't think.
That was one detail I wanted and I never found it.
Well, see,
and
at
the
first.
The bison mentioned that.
At first, I didn't know there was the pebble in it, so I was like, it's just up in the air. But then he said there was a pebble, so I thought he just completely lost it. And now I'm just really confused because it's like, oh, it's about temperatures dropped about 3 degrees. Must have lost my luck.
If Sofawith listens to this, we're sorry.
Hey, not all reviews are positive.
True. There is going to be a... I think Michael Payne is actually working on a second book. I believe it's the same character.
Did they not finish this?
Is it a sequel or is it parallel?
I'm not sure if it's a direct sequel.
Did they finish
they just,
this book?
When Sofa Wolf contacted us, they did say it was working on another book.
Did they finish
I'm not
this
sure.
book?
Nice.
Pretty much it had a good ending to it and finish to it. But again...
It could.
Any book you can say, oh, yeah. And this happened after the fact. But it had an ending of its own.
Yeah.
It could be standalone.
It seems to be a pretty solid ending, too.
Yeah, it did have
a
solid ending.
I'm not sure exactly how they are planning on continuing it, but nice.
They're going to have Bobcat and Rabbit's wedding.
They might. Bobbits.
Bobbits.
Come here, Bobbit.
You're giving them ideas. There
you go.
Bobbit.
Rabcat.
There you go. But this is one, what age level you think, Chris? I think probably young adult. I would throw it in young adult. The size is pretty much perfect for the young adult section. The story.
It's kind of small.
Yeah.
Story is pretty simple. For the most part, pretty simple. There are some confusing parts, though. I'm not going to lie. There are some confusing parts. But if you get past the first 50 pages is what it took me. It started progressing for me really fast after that. So if you can... Give it time, and it'll pick up for you eventually.
You got to be patient with it.
But there are areas that I will have to definitely say that, oh, this is interesting. And again, I'm not a fantasy reader. I would do that with any fantasy book.
What did you think, Logan?
Same here.
You're a
pretty good
reader.
Especially the ending, or the meeting with Blood Jaguar, at least.
Okay.
Now, if it had been a graphic novel, I might have enjoyed it a little bit more.
Like I said, that's what I found out.
And before I find, any of you at all, other than that, of course, remember the ending?
So you're talking to me?
We don't want to do the ending. We're trying to stay away from spoilers, remember?
Oh, yeah. See, Dad, I think also instead of it just being a graphic novel that differentiates you from what you like to read in a fantasy, it could be they weren't consistent on whether they were four-legged animals that walked like an animal, but, you know, had the talking and all that, or if they were actually very humanoid where they could go and have a house and make that coffee and stuff, because that's a difference, too.
True. I'd have to read Redwall.
Yeah, because you said Nordgard was on all four, but they didn't ever stand up. And
yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they
did.
Were
quite a bit.
Forth. They were probably more bipedal than
when they weren't
quad.
Pulling the bobs. When they weren't pulling the bobsled.
Wrong set.
When they weren't pulling the sled, they were on two.
That would bother me. Cause they
and all of them were walked on two in that
one.
Hey, this one did do a bit of that as well.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
Because the thing with, and they were going back home, that when they helped them out was that.
On the wagon?
Yep.
You've read the Red Walls.
Mm-hmm. Do they stand up on both feet all the time, or are they up and down like this book
Most
was?
Of them are bipedal anyways, so...
Dude, they're what's bipedal?
Two
legs.
Thank you.
Bicycle?
But that's bipedal? Not bipedal. What's, what's the pedal about?
Pedestrian.
Yeah.
I don't have pedals for feet. I'm not going to assume bipedal means
bipedal is an
feet.
Adjective. Biped is... Never mind.
I've never heard biped. But
get a dictionary.
Yeah.
Binary.
This isn't my fault. This is
binary,
my English
that's
teacher's
good one.
Fault.
Oh, well, that's all right.
I would say...
Of course, nothing's ever my fault. It's somebody else's.
Exactly.
Well, when they're supposed to be teaching it to you.
Wow.
Oh,
was
man.
This the one that had you...
Okay.
We're not going there.
Whoa!
We're not going there.
You don't put details into
when
it.
When we got the...
Oh, no,
this is,
name. Just...
No, that's fine, Logan.
No,
we can cut that
oh,
part
and
out.
By the yeah. by, we have a graduate here, and I forgot your invitations.
After it's already happened.
Again. I forgot it before the graduation, forgot it after the graduation.
You have to leave that in the podcast.
That's all right. He was sleeping anyways.
Logan has yeah. officially
Richard
graduated.
Or Logan?
They,
yeah.
Maybe both.
Dad said there's this picture in the newspaper looking down on all the graduates. When somebody was making a speech or whatever, and it was all looking up except for one hat.
So
straight down.
So what college has gained another prospective student?
Garden at the moment.
Garden City Community
City.
College?
Yep. It's the Gateway College.
I hope so. That's the only one we know of.
No,
it's the Gateway
the,
College.
Gotta give them the full
the
shout
Gateway
out here.
Yeah.
Cool.
But we this one is available online, Sofa Wolf Press's online store. I'm not sure if it's on Amazon or not. I never checked, to be honest.
$16.
It's probably on Amazon.
So this is, again, another one where if you have the Redwall fans, this is one that you can direct them to. I'm going to donate my copy to the library and put it into the young adult with the Redwalls.
If you like Warriors, that's the same thing.
Is it similar?
Cats.
Yep. So, and that's pretty much all of Silver Wolf Press, if you got people that like the animal stories like that.
And animal-themed stories. Yep.
But that's pretty much it, Chris, unless you have anything else that you want to... talk
that's
about
it? Nope, hard pass. No.
I will be interested to see Michael Payne's next book just to see if
what
it's
happened.
Improved.
Yeah, never know.
You know, being writing is a learning that's... process.
No, I
you'll
know,
learn this in
just...
college.
No, I know. It's just
your first paper will be written in crayon.
Can you type in crayon?
That would be cool.
There's a font, Chris. There's
really
a
cool.
font right
there. You
there.
There's your there's your project.
I'm sure there is one.
That would be an awesome font.
That would be.
Trying to remember if we had any emails here lately or Facebook page. We've had a couple more likes, so thank you everybody for liking us on Facebook. But
we forgot our bag, so we don't have really anything with us.
Oh, yes.
Bag's
hold on
right
just
there.
A moment.
No, our actual bag. My
As
tummy.
Richard gets up out of his chair, bends over.
Oh, snap.
Grabs a bag.
But not,
opens the bag.
But not the comic pop
you,
library
no, Chris,
bag.
See, you forgot. You forgot the grab bag. The bag strongly with his hand.
Grabs the black Inuyasha. Sorry. My
Inuyasha.
Inuyasha.
Yeah, there you go.
Have you... What?
That wasn't actually his name, though. That was the name of the sword, wasn't it?
Actually, his name was Inuyasha.
The sword was Tetsaiga.
Tetsaiga.
Yeah. Me and Logan know. We've watched that series, like, a lot. Yeah.
And his sword could only destroy, and the sister sword could only create.
It's the brother.
Brother sword?
And he got a different one that actually could fight.
His sword did kind of suck.
I didn't watch the whole series. Yeah. Who makes a sword that can only create life?
Yes. As he grabs the black microphone with the pink windsock on it.
It cannot create life. It heals you.
He then begins to speak.
Once per person.
Shut up!
Small giggle and then the word
watch
shut
the whole series,
up.
Okay?
No, you watched the first two
oh
seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Just a quick shout out. This is from the Lewisburg.
Why didn't you tell me about
that? Well, you weren't in the loop.
It's
for
classified.
This one.
Yep.
Denied.
Start this again. This is the young adult page of the Lewisburg Library in Kansas. They've put some links of ours on their page. One of them was our interview with Mr. Johnson from Britain. Uh-huh. Ken? Wasn't it Johnson? It was Johnson. Yeah. I was going to say, the way you guys were looking at me, I got it wrong. Like,
oh, don't look at me for that.
So we appreciate you doing that for us over there at Lewisburg. Appreciate you listening. And you guys, send us some emails. Anybody out there, send us some emails, comments, suggestions, any questions. We'd be glad to have them.
You could
tell
send
us
in
a book you'd
dares.
Like us to review.
Yep.
What?
could have like a dare.
A dare? Oh. Dare us to read something?
No, dare us to just do something.
It's not a video cast.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank but God.
True.
Oh, man.
They'd catch me like over here like, I'm awake. I'm paying attention.
Yes, we do appreciate the shout out on their page, and so this is a shout out in kind to them. So thank you very much, Lewisburg Young Adult section. And that's pretty much for this time around, guys. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We are having fun. You have fun. We'll catch you the next go around when we review. What are we doing, April, with your end?
The Hunts.
And on Matt's end, we're doing the movie
Parker.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.